Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover a wide range of topics from common courtesies and communication skills to everyday life interactions, only to name a few. We should all be aware that etiquette truly encompasses every area of our lives. If you are listening live, call 516-418-5894. And now, here is your host, certified speaker, teacher, trainer, author, and coach, known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, June 28th, 2020, and we are broadcasting live from the lovely city of Atlanta. As you may have determined, it must be somebody's birthday since Stevie Wonder sang. And it's my mother's birthday, and we are honoring and remembering her this evening. I am so excited about that. And so stay tuned. Since the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway, I always want to answer that question. Just take a moment to answer that question. We know that we have listeners of all ages, and we may have people that are listening for the first time, and so welcome. You know, I'd like to answer that question. Etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, I don't know if that's what you want, but I know that is certainly what I would like to have, most definitely. Okay, so now the word etiquette itself, it comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England, they copied these rules of etiquette from the French court, and you know what? These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. Yay. Charles. Well, once again, I am just so excited and delighted that we are remembering our mother. Her name is Verna, and we're just going to celebrate and honor her. And for those of you who don't know her, you'll get a chance to know her just shortly. But what I want to do, I want to bring on my wonderful co-host, my big brother, Lonnie. How are you?
I am doing just great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you as excited as I am?
I am. I really am.
Yeah. So I'm so excited that we're going to celebrate our Shiro, if you will. And not only was she a woman of God, but she was a mother, a sister, aunt, daughter, grandmother, great-grandmother, a nurse. Also, I found out a little later that she was a writer and an artist as well, and a teacher. And how I found this out is after she passed, my sister gave me this folder, and she said, you know what? She said, you do a lot of writing. She said, I'm going to give this to you. I think you'll enjoy it. And that was just such a prized possession for me because I was able to see where, especially I received that gift of writing from. In fact, it was a little difficult for me to decide what to read because you know I'm going to share one of her writings, right? And so it was a little challenging for me to figure out which one because she's just a prolific writer. And so I want to I'm going to read this, and mainly because too, what is going on in our country. You know, we're dealing with racism and we're dealing with discrimination and so on and so forth. So I think this this report that she wrote would certainly be fitting for now. So I'm going to read this. This is titled Doris Miller, Navy War Hero. Doris Miller was not only the only American sailor to respond to the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on the morning of December 7, 1941. Many hundreds of sailors and officers responded quickly and bravely to the surprise attack. Because Doris was also known as Dory was so quickly and extraordinarily efficient in his response, however, he is generally recognized as the first Negro American military hero of World War II. As a mess steward, the highest rank he could attain as a Negro, Dory had been given no battle training whatsoever. He had never been trained how to fire a heavy gun and had never been instructed what to do in case of an attack. Nonetheless, within moments after the first attack had hit his ship, the West Virginia, Dory Miller was on the move. First, he made his way through the rubble to the bridge to check on the safety and well-being of the captain. Finding that Captain Binion had been seriously wounded, Dory carefully moved him to shelter and then went on the offensive. Taking the place of a wounded sailor who had been manning a machine gun, Dory swung the unfamiliar device around and began tracing the planes, which were darkening the morning sky. Almost instantly, getting the feel of the gun, Dory squeezed the trigger, and a moment later, a Japanese bomb fell into the harbor. Dory took and hit on the second plane, and this one too came tumbling out of the sky. Again he aimed and fired, and again and again and again. Only after an officer order repeatedly that Dory abandoned the sinking ship did he quit his post and allow his gun to fall quiet. All Dory was credited with having shot down four Japanese planes, a remarkable accomplishment for a man who had never before even handled such a gun. So remarkable, in fact, that the Secretary of Navy, Frank Knox, recommended Dory's award for valor. On May 7, 1942, Fleet Admiral Chester W90 pins on Dory Miller's chest the Navy's highest award, the Navy Cross for Distinguished Devotion to Duty. Extraordinary courage, she writes. And it is just so, it is amazing for me to have this. I mean, this is it's actually in her own handwriting. And so, you know, when she wrote this up, this was just so amazing. And I thought it would be just so fitting to share that. And so I don't know if you, did you know about that, Lonnie?
Sure did. It's okay. Part of military history, and you have to know. And and that's right. He was a cook. He had no idea of actually what he was doing, but I guess he looked and he saw exactly what other folks had been doing, and he just let it rip. It goes to show you the courage that people have when things aren't quite right. Doesn't matter if that's your job or not. It's just important that the courage that you have and that you display in the time of need, and which this was a time of need. But that's a very, very touching story. And I think it has been on TV. I think the movie Pearl Harbor kind of highlighted that. So I would encourage anyone to watch it. And it's Barry Warden.
Wow. I just thought that was so exciting. And just, you know, reading in her own handwriting. And there were so many other writings that she had in the same folder as well. And of course, we know also that she could write fluent shorthand, right?
Yes.
And so I looked at a couple of those, but I'm sorry, I can't read them.
Yeah, you're clueless.
I cannot read them because I really, you know, I can probably make up my shorthand, but it may not be the real shorthand. But anyway, I just thought that was just so amazing that she wrote that, and I wanted to share that with everybody. But of course, we also know that she was a nurse for, 40-something years, maybe?
Over 40 years, yes. And, you know, she worked in the ER. She worked in the OR. She then after, I think prior to, I think prior to 1985, she was working as private duty, which was good because it took her out of that environment that she had been working in so long, which, you know, has a wear and tear on your body, which we, as you know, we don't understand, because I didn't until I began working into a hospital. And that's when you realize the people, the hospital workers, they do more than they get credit for. And a lot of times when mom, and I'm sure you remember this, when she would come home dirt tired, well, you know, we figured she's supposed to be able to talk and, you know, sit down. All she wanted to do is put her feet up, take off those shoes. And back then, nurses couldn't just dress up in a regular, what do you call their garb?
Their scrubs that they have now.
Their scrubs. No, she had to wear a dress, white stockings. And then there was a hat. I don't know if you remember this, Donna.
I do.
She used to, okay, and she put it on like a bleach bottle. She had to starch it, and it would be shaped, and that thing would stay there. It was like a hard as a brick. But she would put it on with bobby pins, and she would go to work, you know. But it's a little bit different now. Because I know she put in hours in preparing that uniform daily. You know?
Wow. You know, they're real comfortable now because they're allowed to wear, you know, scrubs and slacks or whatever as their uniform. But, yeah, I know. And I know she was definitely tired because oftentimes she worked 16-hour shifts.
Doubles.
You know, double shifts.
She worked doubles.
Right. So she just worked so much. And I remember as a little girl asking her, because I know she would work on the holidays. I'll never forget the time I asked her. I said, well, my other friends, their parents don't work on the holidays and mainly like Christmas. And I said, so why do you have to go to work? And I think I was probably, I don't know, I might have been 7 or 8 or something like that. And so
what she said was, she said, I take care of people that are sick. And she said, just because it's a holiday doesn't mean they automatically get well for that holiday and then they're sick again. So as they're sick, she said, I have to take care of them. And so that kind of helped me to understand, because I was not trying to hear that and understand, because I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go to work. It's Christmas. And so when she explained that to me like that, I was like, wow, you know, that is pretty amazing. I mean, they still need care as well. And I guess it's just like the hospitals don't close on holidays, you know,
exactly.
It's kind of the same thing. Yeah. So exciting. So I'm going to go to the phone and we're going to pick up a caller. And if you all are just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are remembering and honoring our mother, Verna. And extension 3504. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi,
how are you
there? Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And husband. Thanks to
and
Lord,
husband.
We're living.
Amen.
And what I want to say about my oldest sister, she was the oldest one in the family. And what
that
I want to say about her, she would be saying she's coming home to visit. We started getting quiet before she gets there. Because we thought we had two mothers when she came.
Amen.
Yeah, but we enjoyed her very much.
Yes.
She was a sweet sister. And one thing she always wanted us to know about our relatives.
Yes.
And she sent a lot of pictures to different ones,
yes,
which I have some myself. She sent a lot of photos to us.
Yes.
And I just thank the Lord. I know she's gone, but I just, you know, I can't forget her. If my other family was here, they would say the same thing.
We'll always be remembered. And I would like to add my little two-cent worth. It's been 39 years ago, but Friday was my birthday, and I wonder why we were getting along so. Because we were born June. I mean, sure, the day, mine was Friday, so I turned 69. But the thing of it is, what I would like to share with y'all, she came down when I first met Hazel, and I had a little old hatchback Pinto. And his whole $10 worth of gas at that time. And I put $400 worth of gas and made $400 phone call. And the way Hazel got me with a Rika drink and a slice of cake. You know? But the thing is, what I like to share with you, my car was so weak. It was so weak until her and Junior waited on me until I could trail them to Dixon Mill, because they were looking for my car to put me down. But thank the Lord, I made it. And whenever I got rid of my car, the man told me, he said, I'd like to not have made it to the sale with your car, but the thing is that the car I sold you was tight. So the car he sold me, I used to carry Hazel and Velma and LT to Mobile Infirmary, and the air conditioning was so cold, LT was started shaking. He said, cut it out, I'm freezing. Car that I bought after the Pinto that I used to go to Mobile Infirmary to see my mother-in-law. And we were there for her when she first had that heart attack. We were there for her, and we were at the family house. and Arlen was sitting in the back, and my mother-in-law Haiti was sitting in the front. And I drove up the road so fast, my mother-in-law told me, said, seemed like I was riding in the air. But the thing up here, that car was moving so fast until Hazel and Arlen were so scared. I mean, they forgot about my mother-in-law because the car was moving so fast on the dirt road. On the dirt road, when I come in that curve, I don't know what happened, but it seemed like she said she was riding in an airplane. But she said that was the best ride she ever had. And all I liked to pass out, or he was scared. thank y'all for letting me share that with you.
Oh, sure. If you have any more stories you want to share, you're welcome to do that. And by the way, happy belated birthday to you.
And I would like to thank Junior and Vernon for waiting on me. And we went up to Vernon. I don't know what happened. We went up to Vernon and we stayed with Vernon. And Vernon would always, look out for us, and she was helpful, and she fixed us food, and she didn't charge us anything, and I was so thankful, and I tell you, we just enjoyed so much, and her daughter Cal and everything, they were so that way, and we just enjoyed Vernon to the most high, and even though my son, she met my son, and she said that that was her boy. That was her boy. Cause he would always help her in and out the car.
He sounded like a gentleman.
We enjoyed it. So, and she will never be forgotten. She was just like my mom, you know. I mean, I know that was my sister-in-law and everything, but we enjoyed it. And I like it. I like to play, bro. I call my mother-in-law into it. She said, I'm trying to grow grass, and y'all trying to. She said, I'm trying to grow grass, y'all trying to grow grass. So I asked her, how much would she charge me to put a trailer on her land? And she said, you won't owe me nothing. So I put a trailer out there, and then we sold it. I don't know what time we bought a trailer that took. The duck had a hole, and it was you. But next time we bought a new one, and we bought the second new one. So, I think the best of my life, we bought three trailers over in Wynn, and put them on the family land. And I never heard a mumbling word from them trailers. And Jody asked me, said, Chester, did you eat up that food? I said, no. He said, you put a trailer out there and everything is going to be yours. So we get us a trailer. But Hazel was a blessing to me, and she still is, and I was a blessing to Hazel. So we made it. God put me and Hazel together, because we've been blessed. Going up and down. In and out. We've been blessed through thick. I wouldn't have made it without her, and she wouldn't have made it without me. We come up on the other side of the mountain. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. How much you got? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. I thank the Lord. I know it ain't me. I know it ain't about me, but I thank the Lord.
Y'all pray.
Amen. Pray for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, Donna.
I think Lonnie might have kind of a follow-up to that, because I know he said that, you all were just a beautiful couple. And in fact, you all have been married. Well, how long now have you all been married?
April 10th, 86. Okay. Wow.
Long time.
So
thank
yeah,
you,
that's
Lord.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, I know. I know you said that. And I know you said that. I know you said mom was like another second mother. In fact, I know they kind of called her. She was sort of known as what the Harriet Tubman of the Chapman family. Lonnie can kind of explain that a little bit.
Well,
but thank you all for sharing.
Okay, but in a sense, she was like the Harriet Tubman of the Chapmans, because once mom moved to Indianapolis, we had several of her siblings. Of course, it was 12 siblings, and just beautiful, beautiful siblings. They were regimented. It was different, but we used to go down every year to Alabama, and it was different. Did a lot of good work, hard work, real work. But anyway, everyone, Uncle Jacob, Uncle Eulis, Uncle Joe, both the twins, Aunt Thelma and Velma, you know, when folks would come to Indianapolis, you know, mom, the door was always open. She was a very caring and compassionate person that, I mean, there's nothing that she wouldn't do for you, and she would open up her house for you. Now, mind you, she didn't take too much stuff. You know, she was a firm person, which was good when you're talking about me. I was a knucklehead, but that's what it took. It took someone firm to deal with all her siblings, because in a sense she was the second mama, you know. But every time I think of it, it's just a beautiful thing, and I just think of all my aunts and uncles. It was just a beautiful thing. And as you know, I don't talk that much, Donna, so you have to prompt me.
No worries. But as you mentioned, yeah, she was, you know, very warm-hearted and open, and oftentimes the family, the holiday, you know, we would usually, we did a lot of hosting for the holidays. Family would come over for many of the holidays, and that was just really, really nice. And if you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are celebrating and honoring our Mother Verna, who was just such a woman of God and a hard worker, very independent, very socially savvy, and I could really go on and on. But what I'm going to do is going to take a break real quick, and then we will be right back in just a moment. So please do not go away. We'll be right back.
Welcome to our home, our phenomenal girls group home, where our ultimate goal is to prepare every girl ages 5 to 18 for life by nurturing her development physically, mentally, and spiritually. In order to ensure our girls' success, we need your help. If you're a corporation, business, or individual, please go to pggh.org to see how you and your organization can donate. Every little bit helps us serve our girls. Because when you donate, we can support our most vulnerable girls while building up our community. Once again, go to pggh.org or call 678-887-7980.
Phenomenal Girls Group Home is a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Welcome to ProMixGlobal.com. ProMix Global will help solve your audio recording and production needs, whether it's song recording, mixing and mastering, CDs, commercials,
IVR as audiobooks or general voiceovers. ProMix Global is the choice for you. Your project will be delivered on time and on budget. For additional information or to schedule your studio time, go to www.promixglobal.com. Once again, www.promixglobal.com. Are you looking for a fabulous voice? You found it here on MissDonnaSpeaks.com. Miss Donna's voice is one of a kind to fit any voiceover need for sure. The mission is to provide the voice you need to help your message stand apart from the rest. Believable is the first word that comes to most clients' mind when describing Miss Donna's voice. Miss Donna is available for script writing, on-hold and phone messaging systems, interactive voice response, live announcing, MC, commercials, narrations, audiobooks, documentaries, talk show hosting, and e-learning. Whether you are a brand new business, existing corporation, or entrepreneur, MissDonnaSpeaks.com is the right voice and choice for you. Customers are so busy that many times they don't have a lot of time to visit your website, but they will take 30 to 90 seconds to click and hear your commercial. Reach customers quickly with your professionally written and produced commercial, and not only will they be impressed, but also excited to do business with you. Your project will be delivered on budget and on time. Contact Miss Donna for all of your voiceover needs. www.missdonnaspeaks.com, www.missdonnaspeaks.com. Make the best choice. Hire Miss Donna's voice. There's something you can do right now that will ease the pain of arthritis in years to come. By remembering the Arthritis Foundation in your will, you can help us find ways to stop this serious, often crippling disease, a disease that affects one in every seven Americans. Call the Arthritis Foundation at 1-800-283-7800. 1-800-283-7800. It's time we took arthritis seriously.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Big little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, big little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Big little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
We are back, and we are celebrating our mom, who would have been, not, I think, 93 today on June 28th. She would have been 93 years of age. She was promoted to heaven in 2003. So we are remembering and celebrating her. You heard This Little Light of Mine, and that was her favorite song, was This Little Light of Mine, and we're just so excited we could share that with you. You can call us if you'd like. The number 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894. I may not have given this out before, even though it's posted on the on the actual promo. But you can feel free to give us a call and share memories with us. Go to the phone. I will say the last four digits of your number, 6171, extension 6171. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Peppy Chapman, her niece.
Hi, Peppy.
Hi. Just wanted to say how I remember the hospitality. We would a lot of times go visit Aunt Verna after church. And just I know that when you talked earlier about how long she would work, but just knowing that, you know, she was still open and really flexible, you know, to have us come over. And I just remember it almost seemed like we were coming over every week. And so just loved, you know, just being there. And even as a kid, you know, I just remember her sense of humor. I just remember the warmth that she had. And I really, in looking back, really like that, you know, the whole family cohesiveness and the whole family bonding. Because, you know, as you get older and people go their separate ways and you may not stay in touch with people as much, but then mm-hmm. just kind of the memories, you know, of, and I was so happy, you know, my dad just, you know, made sure that we did keep in touch with relatives, go see relatives on a consistent basis. And so looking back, you know, I just really appreciated that. And it just really makes me see the importance of keeping, you know, in touch with family.
Right.
And, but Aunt Verna was definitely a phenomenal woman, and mm-hmm. just really miss her and miss the times that, you know, you talk about holidays or, you know, special times, and especially when our cousins came to town, we really enjoyed, you know, going over there and spending time interacting with them. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just good that, you know, people are that open and not mind you coming over their house. And that's what I miss. You know, just these sure. days, you know, people are just so busy. It's kind of hard sometimes to, you know, be able to interact with your family the way you would like to.
Right. And that's a great point. And I think that we need to really take the time. We're, you know, everybody's busy, but we have to take the time because we knew how busy she was all the time, but she definitely...
Right.
Always just took the time to be with family and to you know, hold different gatherings. And I think you all may have come over pretty much every weekend, I do believe.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember coming over a lot. So I was like, wow, you know. So, but it was always an honor to be able to be able to spend time and talk with her. So I did really enjoy that.
And you mentioned your dad, Uncle Ulis.
Mm-hmm.
My fondest memory of Uncle Ulis is that I remember every time he came over, he would bring like bushels of carrots. There would be so many carrots. Yeah.
That sounds like him.
fresh carrots. He always had them with him. And he juiced carrots.
Yep.
And What was so amazing to me is that, you know, he talked about juicing, and I remember when I moved here, I started juicing, right? So what I did is I went to the supermarket and I bought a bag of carrots, right? And so I juiced that bag of carrots, and it was probably a fourth of a glass of carrot juice. And I said, wait a minute, this is a ripoff. Using it in, you know, just a whole bag of carrots just for just so little. And so I had, you know, my memory went back, flashed back to him. I said, that's why he brought so many. And so when you do stuff, you could have a nice, you know, you could have enough to drink, right?
Correct.
So I will always think about that. That was just, I thought that was so cool. But he always had a bushel of carrots, and I thought that's why, because it really takes quite a few carrots to juice in order to have a glass. you know, a full glass of carrots. And Lonnie, I'm sure you've had carrot juice, so you know, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Uncle Ulysses, he used to stock up on the carrot juice and very healthy. Very, you know, he ate healthy. And Peppy, you did as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the whole family, everyone ate pretty much healthy. And Uncle Ulysses pretty much encouraged that. But, I've drank, I've eaten a lot of carrots. that I forgot about, Donna. Thank you for waking up that memory. It's a beautiful, beautiful memory.
But, yeah, I remember.
And, Peppy, you are right. We would see Uncle Ulysses and you guys would probably come over every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I do remember every week. But again, I mean, spending quality time, and that's
absolutely.
A lot of times what you miss now. People, they don't even have time to talk to you on the phone, let alone come and visit. So, but the in-person visits are so personable.
Right.
You know, I just can't stress enough, you know, the importance of being able to, you know, see your relatives on a consistent basis.
Right, and, you know, the phone and texting does not take the place of, you know, it just doesn't. The phone and texting. So
right.
That's, you know, so, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, that was so fun. And,
you're welcome, and thank you.
See all of our relatives, so. That so those of you that are, you know, listening in, just try to definitely spend time with your family. And very, very, you know, a lot of times we're just busy being busy, so we have to take a little time out. That is very important. She was really, a proponent of doing that. And I remember she used to have all these little sayings. I remember I was really small when I heard her first saying this. She said, "No one will go through this world on flower beds of ease." And I was like, and I was little. And I'm thinking, you know, my imagination, I was so young, and somebody going down the street, you know, on some flower beds or something, you know. You know, my memory, I mean, my imagination was pretty much out there. So as I got older, I understood what she was saying. And what that is that, you know, people, you know, you're going to go through things. Nobody is going to have a perfect life. So as you go through the world, you know, you will have, you know, you'll have different challenges. And so it's really important for us to, you know, to understand that, so that when we are faced with challenges, you know, we don't, you know, we're not caught off guard because we know that they're going to happen. But we also know that, you know, with prayer, we can certainly be able to overcome them as well. So that was just one of the ones of many that she had. And of course, and if you hadn't actually gone through situations yet, her response was always, "Okay, just keep living, just keep living, and you know, and you will." So, and you're prepared, and so that's great. And so, it's always great to celebrate and to remember. Had a wonderful, wonderful childhood, and she was socially savvy. I remember that we were a member, and you know, I didn't really realize any of this back then as really being a big deal, but I remember that we were a member of a country club, and we would go there and you know, we'd play, you know, play games, and I think, you know, some people would play tennis or softball or, you know, whatever was going on there. And I remember when we used to take quite a few vacations, and I hear something scratching. Lonnie, is that you? Maybe.
No, ma'am.
Scratching and tussling or cooking, because I know you cook so well. You're not cooking right now, right?
No, I'm not.
and I know you mentioning cooking. Mom was a very good cook, and I'm sure a lot of the skills that you and my sister Carol both, or you know, you inherited those gifts as well. I'm sure. What do you think?
That's a fact. Oh yeah, absolutely. I do cook. I cook a lot. I love to cook. And of course, like you said, Mom loved to cook, but a recipe was purely out of the question, you know, because when Mom would, she wouldn't use spoons or cups, you know, measuring cups or anything to cook with. So sometimes you would have to ask her, how much was that? She said, well, just put about this much in your hand and just dump it in. And I don't know how he did that. But it would be right on point.
Yeah, she just knew. And so I, you know, I enjoy cooking. I mean, it's not some people what live to cook. I cook to live, but I think you and Carol were the ones that really, I mean, could have opened a restaurant because of cooking, you know, culinary skills are just so wonderful. So I think that was great too. And oftentimes we would, you know, eat. Eating is always really good, you know, as far as when you're socializing. And that's one of the things that brings people together very well, is having a chance to, you know, they call it break bread, right, together.
Yes.
And so that is always very, it's very good to do that, and it's just wonderful. And, but yeah, so, I mean, we just did a lot. I remember that we were a member of a travel club, and I can recall when she would get off on Fridays, oftentimes we would go out of town on that Friday evening. I remember my first play, I believe, out of state. We went to Chicago to, I think, the Schubert Theater, if I recall. And so that was my first experience. And we would fly out that evening, and we would come back to town that Sunday evening in time enough for her to go back to work and for me to go back to school. And so that was really, you know, those were some really exciting times. I remember we went to D.C. like that, to the White House, and all those kinds of things. And they were just kind of like long weekend trips, but they were planned, and you had the tour guide, and that could be where my sister got that. She loved to travel constantly and always planning trips and cruises and things like that. I was hoping we would hear from her maybe this evening. But anyway, so yeah, so Mom had a lot of other sayings. Lonnie, do you remember any that she shared? She had so many.
Right. She had a lot. Well, born experience is the best. Born experience is the best. And of course, the old saying that, you know, that we hear all the time, you make your bed, you got to lay in it, you know. She used that a lot. And, you know, Norm, when you're that young, you really don't think about exactly what the meaning is.
Mm-hmm.
But so she had all these little sayings that you really didn't know what she was talking about until you started getting older. And then it started making sense, and you could realize exactly what it meant and the value of it. But
yeah.
I know one thing, she did value family. You know, she valued her family. And, you know, as when we're young, you know, we used to see our cousins, and you were kind of young, but we would see them just about, I don't know, at least 2-3 times a month, and on some vacation, We used to go over Uncle Joe's, and we just be there for a couple of days. It was just unique. It was unique. We don't have that family, that cohesiveness, you know, anymore, because everyone gets older. You know, I mean, look at me now. I'm 50.
So, oh yeah, absolutely. You gotta duck. Make sure a lightning bolt doesn't come through. And meanwhile, I'm gonna bring someone else into the conversation. Extension 3382. Extension 3382. Hello.
Hello, this is Anthony calling. Sorry, I'm a little late.
Don't worry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I had to race home to get into the show with you all and to share. As I said, I just tuned in, but again, I guess we're remembering Aunt Verna. So I'd like to share. I guess my, you know, being family, share my experiences with my aunt. In that, I felt a connection with her because my profession in healthcare. And, you know, it was always such a great time to visit. And we talk about, you know, family things, but then also we start talking about things in the healthcare field. And she would share with me her experiences in the early days of nursing, which was obviously was her passion as well as her livelihood. And then at the time I was newly into the radiology field with MRI and all, and just, you know, dealing with patient care and that being my, you know, profession and passion. And I'm still to this day after 35 years able to work in the same field, but it was so nice to, you know, she would share with me her experiences and how things were coming along in the 50s and 60s, you know, and so it was nice to hear it from her perspective. But also, again, just, you know, she's one of my favorite aunts. And, again, it was so nice to have those experiences with her. But that's what I remember. Even sometime I just stopped by the house, even in later years, you know, once she had retired. And that seems like what our topic would start out with, you know, healthcare, how things are going. And we'd reminisce on those type of things. And then we'd talk about family and all. So those were some, you know, good times in, you know, through the years, having her, you know, in her work ethic and how she carried herself, always very professional. You know, she was a go-getter, you know. So those are, again, good years, good memories and of her and, you know, to me.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. And it's interesting because Lonnie had just mentioned Uncle Joe, your dad, when you called in. Well, when I was able to pick you up. So, yeah, we had, you know, great memories of him coming over as well. Very nice.
Right. Yeah, I caught the tail end of that. And, you know, also when I think of your mom being the oldest of the 12 children and even how my dad spoke of his older sister, there were 4 years. Oh, it's a 4 year. There were 6 years different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our parents being from Alabama, and it was through your mom that we all, the part of our family, half of the siblings that came to Indianapolis, was because of your mom. I mean, that, you know, when she moved to Indianapolis and my dad saying, you know, when he first moved up, that's where he stayed. He landed here in Indianapolis. And so when I think about it, you know, if it weren't for your mom, my dad would not have been here. And of course my parents, you know, you always, sometimes you think of those type of things. What if, you know, you know, what if your mom had never moved to Indianapolis? You know, well, maybe my mom and dad would not have met, but I sometimes think about stuff like that. Like that was what brought about, you know, maybe even my existence, you know, so, But, you know, and also another fond memory I have is back in 1994, you know, when we'd all go down at different times to visit our grandmother. And but for one time in 1994, your mom and Uncle Leland and my dad, all being siblings, the three of them, and then my mom, and there were six of us, and we drove down, and we rented a van and drove down just to, and that was the first time it was like a multi-family vacation, or, you know, just to go back down south to visit. And, again, I remember that just because that was the only time we ever did that as a multi-unit family, you know, and so it was, again, another fond memory, you know, and just being together. Just being with your family, you know, sometimes you don't always spend as much time together as you think you should, and the years get away, but that was kind of a time where, hey, we all took time off and drove 11 hours in the van together. It was just a good time to be together with family.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And I tell you, we have had a wonderful conversation. And I thank you all so much for calling in to share as we celebrate her. It's just wonderful. And like I said, today is her actual birthday, June 28th. And we're really, you know, just so excited about that. And we know her memory will live on as well as, you know, of all of our parents. We did speak with Aunt Hazel earlier, and she's the only sibling that's actually left. And so we definitely love on her and make sure that we can keep up with her and her husband Chester as well. Well, wow, we are at the end. This has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. I was looking forward to it, and it's just been great, a great tribute to her. We could, of course, talk for hours and hours and hours about her, but I thank everyone for certainly, you know, taking time to just call in and share. We so appreciate it, and we have to take a little more time out with family now, okay? So, but listen, thanks everyone for listening. If you have a topic you'd like to hear us address, please let us know. Just send me an email. That will be fine, MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. And be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen. We appreciate that. We're trying to make the world a polite place to live. We know we can only do that with your help, one person at a time, okay? Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3, one of my favorite proverbs. And, again, thank you all so much for calling in. I want to thank my co-host, Brother Lonnie. Thank you so much for co-hosting with me. I certainly appreciate that. I know you'll be doing that again soon. And hello to wife Ernie, my sister-in-law. So just so excited. So thank you all once again. You all make sure that you continue to stay safe and to be encouraged. And on next Saturday, we're going to be talking about discrimination when it comes to the beauty area. So we did have a show yesterday. If you missed that, you want to go back and listen to that. That was on race relations, so that was a great show as well. But anyway, please make sure that you you stay safe and take care. Good night, and God bless.
There is a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, but you can be certain that Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady and What Is Etiquette Anyway talk show, will be here to continue to encourage you. Stay safe and be encouraged. You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we will discuss another exciting topic.